Good morning. Look at all these faces up here. Do you know what happened this week? There are three very special days this week. How many of you knew that? There are three special days this week. Mother's Day, that's the best one of all. But do you know there's two other days that were very special days? Do you know what happened on May 5? Other than Cinco de Mayo, do you know what May 5 was this year? It was a day called National Teachers Day. So I think, what do you think? We should have the teachers stand up today. We have several teachers. Let's have our teachers stand up. Look at our teachers. Thank you. Thank you. Tell them thank you, boys and girls. Oh, yes. I found out, I didn't know about that, but my friend Jennifer, Miss Jennifer, who's a teacher, told me about it. And they did some nice things for teachers this week. Well, do you know what else was special? The second one? National Nurses Day was May 6th. National Nurses Week ends May 12th. Do you know why it ends May 12th? Because Florence Nightingale was born on that day. And Florence Nightingale was both a nurse and a teacher. And she taught, she was not by far the first nurse. I can tell you that for sure. She was not the first nurse. But she was a young woman who studied. And she said, you know, we need to take better care of people. And she was known as a lady with a lamp because late at night she would go check on the soldiers that had been hurt that they had taken care of in the Crimean War. She would go with her lamp from bedside to check on the young men to make sure they were okay. Well, so, do you think we should have all the nurses stand up and say thank you to the nurses? Let's have all the nurses stand up. I know there's a lot of us out there. I'm a nurse, too. Come on, nurses. Thank you, nurses. Yes. Yes. Okay, now, the third one. Now, the next group has both of those people in it. Did you know that? Mothers are teachers. Who taught you how to put your clothes on, tie your shoes, or Velcro your shoes? Help you match colors, that's really good. Help you match colors in the clothes you put on. Your mothers are a good teacher, aren't they? And are mothers good nurses? I'll tell you, there is nothing better on most boo-boos than mama's kiss, right? That's true. Well, that's the third group. Now, tomorrow is Mother's Day, but we're going to celebrate it today. So they're both the same. Mothers are both kind of nurses and kind of teachers. Well, I have something to share with you about mothers. It says, in the children committed to her care, every mother has a sacred charge from God. Take this son, this daughter, he says, train them for me. And polish their character after the likeness of a palace. How precious. That it may shine in the courts of the Lord forever. That's your mother's job. That's pretty big. The mother's work often seems to her as unimportant service. It is a work that is rarely appreciated. Others know little of her many cares and burdens. Her days are occupied with a round of little duties, teaching you how to pick things up, take care of things, and do things like that. But they all of those little things call for patient effort, for self-control, for tact, for wisdom, and self-sacrificing love. Yet she can't boast that anything she does is really great achievement. She only keeps things in the home running as smoothly. Often weary and perplexed, she tries to speak kindly to the children to keep them busy and happy and to guide little feet in the right path. She feels she has accomplished nothing, but it is not so. Heavenly angels, watch the careful mother. I'm thankful for my mother. Out of the bifocals now. Oh, thought I'd do this. I'm so sorry. Heavenly angels. Heavenly angels watch the careworn mother, noting the burden she carries day by day. Her name may not have been heard in the world, but it is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There is a God above, and the light and glory from his throne rests upon the faithful mother as she tries to educate her children to resist the influence of evil. No other work can equal hers in importance. She has not like the artist to paint a form of beauty upon canvas, nor like the sculptor to chisel it from marble. She has not like the author to embody a noble thought in words of power, nor like the musician to express a beautiful sentiment in melody. It is hers, with the help of God, to develop a human soul in the likeness of the divine. The mother who appreciates this will regard her opportunities as priceless. Earnestly she will seek, in her own character and by her methods of training, to present before her children the highest ideal. Earnestly, patiently, courageously, she will endeavor to improve her own abilities that she may use aright the highest powers of the mind in training her sons and daughters. Earnestly, she will inquire, "What hath God spoken?" Diligently, she will study his word. She will keep her eyes fixed upon Christ, that her own daily experience in the lowly round of care and duty may be a true reflection of the one true life. Is your mother pretty important? My mother is very important too. Today, let's ask all the mothers to stand up. Now, we're going to divide this up. We have mothers who are mothers already. So please stand, mothers who are mothers already. And we have some, that's everybody. We have some people up front here that aren't standing up yet. Come on, mothers. And we have some mothers who are going to be mothers pretty soon. And we have some mothers in Israel who are interested in the care of our children of our church. So we'd like to ask all the women to stand. And boys and girls, the people up here are going to help you and give you a flower, and we'd like to pass out those flowers very quickly to all the women who are standing. Please remain standing until you receive a flower, and then be seated. Okay.
It's now time for our Sabbath prayer. If you have a blue card, you can bring it forward at this time. Our Father, we thank you for your love and care of us. We thank you for mothers today that you bless us through them. We thank you that you work through them to, or have worked through them to teach us, and we pray that you would bless them as they do their work on those that are young. Pray for the cards that I have, Lord. You know each request. You know the requests that each of us have on our hearts. And we ask, Lord, that you would answer those requests in the wisest way. You know what we truly need and what we, the best way to provide for us. We thank you that we can trust you in all that we do. And trust you to answer these prayers and however you see fit. We pray that you would be with the service today, be with Pastor as he gives us the message, be with the various activities that are going on this afternoon and with Vespers. We just ask you to guide and lead us throughout this week. We thank you, Lord, and we come in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, church, and happy Sabbath. The offering appeal today is for world budget, specifically disaster and famine relief. How timely is that? I'm going to go quick because I want to get some of the things in here. Jesus said in Matthew 24, 6 and 7, he said, "See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places." Then in great controversy, it says, "Satan is at work in accidents and calamities, in fierce tornadoes and terrific hail storms, tempests, floods, cyclones, tidal waves, and earthquakes in every place and in a thousand forms. These visitations are to become more and more frequent and disastrous." Just this week, Wednesday, Dallas Metroplex had an earthquake 4.0 and a tornado warning at the same time. There are parts of Oklahoma that have historic floods, so much so that the storm shelters are popping out of the ground. So we're close. Adventist Community Services volunteers compassionately respond to the disasters in North America. They collect, serve, sort, distribute items such as flood buckets, personal care kits, clothing, and food through their collection centers, warehouses, distribution centers, and mobile units. As Adventists, we are compelled to do our very best to provide assistance to each survivor. Our offerings and service are combined to transform us into Christ's hands and feet to fulfill that purpose. Today, the offering will be greatly received by the Adventist Community Services North America and ADRA internationally to further their efforts. Will the deacons please come forward and collect the offering?
Thank you.
Please bow your heads. Father in heaven, we thank you for this church, specifically ADRA and community services. Father, we know that as these disasters increase and strengthen, we know that our time is short here on earth. We ask that you would help us to be ready, help us to give and further your kingdom, and help us to be ready when you come. And we thank you, and we come in Jesus' name. Amen.
Today, we will be singing a tribute to mothers.
The scripture reading for today is 1 Samuel 1, verse 20. 1 Samuel 1, verse 20. Wherefore, it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord.
Amen. I said that was going to be what I said today. Amen. Well, no need to worry or fret. This is not one of my longest messages. I do have something I need to say, however, about motherhood, the nobility of motherhood. I was blessed. I was blessed by everything that took place. If you went home right now, you would be fed for another week. Well, no, you wouldn't, because you need to feed every day, but you would be fed. I really enjoyed that. And by the way, that song, I didn't know about that song, but I know Jean must have written that song. Sarah? Sarah wrote it? Okay, thank you. Well, I would like to share with you something here that, you know, mothers are not always appreciated in today's society. To be a mother, well, you know, a housewife, often in today's society is looked down upon in terms of employment. But I have another word for you, another expression that you can use if you're a mother. If people just don't appreciate the word housewife, here it is, research associate in the field of child development and human relations. Okay, that's a mother right there, isn't it? Research associate in the field of child development and human relations. Okay, so that's a mother. And, you know, I recently came across a true story that happened during the Holocaust. And Solomon Rosenberg, his wife and two sons were arrested and placed in a concentration camp. And the rules were simple. As long as they did their work, they were permitted to live. When they became too weak to work, then they would be exterminated. And Rosenberg watched as his own father and mother were marched off to their deaths. And he knew that his youngest son, David, would be next because he had always been a frail child. He was very weak. And every evening, Rosenberg came back to the barracks and he was worried. Was his son going to be there? After hours of hard labor, when he came home, he searched for the faces of his family. And when he found them, they would huddle together and they would embrace one another and they would thank God that they were still alive. And one day he came back and he did not see those familiar faces. And he finally discovered his oldest son, Joshua, in a corner, sobbing and praying. And he said, Josh, tell me it's not true. And Joshua turned to his dad and he said, It is true, Dad. Today David was not strong enough to do his work and so they took him away. And Mr. Rosenberg then asked, But where is your mother? And Joshua could barely speak. And he said, When they came for David, Dad, he was afraid and he cried. And so Mom took his hand and she went with him. The nobility of motherhood is my title this morning. There are exceptions, but this title and the story I just shared describe the kind of love that many mothers have for their children. One such mother is found in 1 Samuel in the Old Testament. She was willing to sacrifice herself. This is in 1 Samuel chapter 1. You can follow along in the Bible. I will not put scriptures up on the board today. It takes save some time. She was willing to sacrifice herself for the sake of her son, and she loved him so much that she was willing to forgo a mother's greatest joy, and that is to bring up her son and having him around her. And she was committed to do whatever it took for him to reach his godly potential. But we are a little bit ahead of ourselves, because when the story starts in 1 Samuel chapter 1, she's not a mother yet. So here it goes, the story. God didn't like it, but her husband had two wives, and one of his wives had many children. And for whatever reason, this man did not love this particular wife very much. And his other wife, he loved with all his heart, but she was infertile. She was barren. Now, I read this week that one in six women who want to have a baby cannot conceive. So it's not all that unusual. A fact that some of you may be painfully aware of. Anyway, there was a strain between these two wives, and the woman with the children, she had a lot of fun making or ridiculing and taunting the other wife, the barren wife. And of course, as you can imagine, the barren wife, whose name was Hannah, didn't feel like she measured up. She was broken in her spirit about not being able to have children and being taunted above and beyond the pain. And finally, Hannah, in the middle of all that pain, breaks down before God, and she pours her heart out to him. And the Bible says that she wept bitterly. And so depressed about this whole thing. And later on, she took a different approach, and she made a vow before God. And it says, talks about it in verse 11. Basically, she says, God, if you give me a child, I will give that child back to you. I will raise that child and put that child back in your service for the rest of his life. And as many of you know, later, God answered her prayer and gave her a son, and he was named Samuel. And she dedicated Samuel to God. She raised him and then brought him to the temple and handed him over to the priest, to Eli. And she said in verses 24 to 28, basically she said, here's my child. I made a covenant with God that I would bring him up and then put him in God's service for the rest of his life. So he is yours. He is now yours. And of course, Samuel grows up to become a prophet, a prominent prophet in the Bible. He's the one who anoints the first king. He's the one who anoints the second king, King David, after Saul. And of course, from the genealogy of David came Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so Samuel was a very important prophet. It's a turning point in Israel's history. You know, it's a dramatic story that most, if not all of us, are familiar with from 1 Samuel chapters 1 and 2. And I just want to, from that story, make four observations this Mother's Day weekend. First, motherhood is a noble aspiration. No matter what anybody says, if a woman aspires to be a mother, it's a noble aspiration. Hannah wanted to be a mother. She felt it would be an honorable investment to be a mother, to spend the rest of her, or a substantial number of years of her life, mothering. All throughout history, men and women have affirmed the importance of the role that mothers play in giving life, or shaping human lives. All throughout history, many women have searched their souls and found that what they really wanted to do with their lives was to give themselves to God-given ministry of mothering, of child-rearing. God has known all along that without quality women making the courageous choice of motherhood, of being mothers, the whole human race is in big trouble. But now, during the last 30 years or so, maybe more, our society's values have changed quite a bit. And today, women who pursue the ministry of mothering do not expect much applause. Because according to our society's values, they're just housewives, and therefore practically throwing their lives away in certain circles. That's the perception. And I've heard mothers say, even in churches, say, no, I don't work. I'm a housewife. I'm a mother. I just raise kids. So the nobility of motherhood has slowly been stripped away from the challenge of child-rearing. Now, there was a time when men and women carried the consequences realized the powerful impact that mothers played on society and the church. She who rocks the cradle rules the world, the old saying goes. But these days, values are different. And gone is the long-term perspective of raising well-adjusted children, competent, caring young people who can become the leaders of tomorrow. Because today's value system requires short-term payoffs and immediate gratification, visible symbols of one's efforts and values. That's today. And that's a short-sighted, superficial society when those are the values that are appraised, that are valued. So these can be trying times for mothers. Maybe the toughest time in all of history. It was a lot easier in Hannah's days to see the nobility of motherhood. It was a part of the culture. Now, Hannah was not apologetic in the least about wanting to be a mother. She yearned to be a mother. She felt she was a perfect fit for motherhood. She saw the value and the nobility in it. And it seemed like the most significant role in the world to her. Now, the Bible does teach that motherhood is a noble ministry with eternal consequences and rewards. The second observation I'd like to make from the story of Hannah has to do with the ridicule that she received from the other wife. She took from the other wife of her husband. Tremendous ridicule. Now, the scriptures say that this calloused woman purposefully provoked her and shamed her repeatedly because she was childless. My general observation from that little part of the story is that a mother's chief antagonist today is likely to be another woman or other women. Maybe not to your face, but on television and everywhere else, you find women expressing strong opinions about what women should be or should not be. So there are shrill voices that cry out all kinds of things. All women should pursue careers. I've heard that. Equally shrill voices would cry out, all women should be full-time mothers. And others cry, all diligent mothers should homeschool their children if they really love them. And still others cry out, all women, all mothers should mix child-rearing with having a job so that they will not be labeled as mothers or as housewives. And so there are all kinds of voices out there. And the problematic word here is the word all, because there is no single mold that all women should be stuffed into, because I believe, and I've seen it over and over again, whether men or women, we're all wired differently. We're not all wired the same. You're fearfully and wonderfully made, and somehow through genetic heritage or whatever, we don't have all the same wiring. God knows your gifts and your talents and your abilities and how you're made. And so he knows what particular path is good for you, and he does care. And he'll offer guidance to you as a woman if you seek it humbly. Now, the Bible cites several examples of women who throughout history look to God for guidance and receive some very unusual custom-tailored leadings, and they followed those leadings courageously. There's not one single calling that God expects all women to pursue. Deborah. Now, the Bible doesn't say whether she was a mother or not, but in Judges chapter 4, we find that at one point in her life, she was called to be a political and military influence in Israel. She made a difference in those areas. Esther was called to be a beautiful queen that could play a very important role in rescuing God's people from certain death. And Priscilla was called to be a teacher along with her husband. And Mary was called to be a mother and a homemaker. And Ellen G. White was called to be both a mother and a messenger of God, to lead God's people back to the Word of God. Again, when you read Ellen White's writings, you find that she spent a lot of time mothering. She wrote letters to her children all the time, and very inspiring letters. She was spending much of her time mothering her own children, in addition to everything else she did. So the challenge for us, as men and women, is to not allow the culture around us to mold us and define us who we are, but to receive instructions from God and accept His assignment for our lives. That's something that you find in Scripture. Now, the third one, the third observation from the story of Hannah underscores how important prayer is in the life of all of us, especially here in this context of women. The Scriptures tell us that Hannah's antagonist provoked her bitterly. Year after year after year, she shamed Hannah because she didn't have kids. But then Hannah had a secret weapon that she could deploy whenever she felt beaten down, and that weapon was prayer. And the text says that when she prayed, she would pour out her heart to God, in verse 15 of 1 Samuel 1. And God listened, and God understood, and God cared. And it strikes me on this Mother's Day weekend that maybe, just maybe, some of you need to be reminded this weekend and this Sabbath of the centrality and the power of prayer. Maybe we have someone here who is beaten down and discouraged because, well, as a mother, you need an inner healing that only prayer can affect. Maybe we have some mothers here with an empty nest, or with an emptier nest. Or maybe you know that that time is fast approaching when the nest will be empty. Maybe you have some mothers with wayward children who feel like total failures. Maybe we have single moms who wonder how they're going to be able to keep all those plates spinning or all the balls juggled. Keep them all in the air, alone. Maybe we have women here who have longed to be mothers, but for some reason couldn't be. Maybe you have had, maybe you've been pregnant, but you lost the child. There are all kinds of reasons for pain on a Mother's Day. But that's why we need mothers in prayer. We need would-be mothers in prayer, spending a lot of time connecting with the Savior who understands all these things. Maybe you have some mothers who have multiple preschoolers who are wondering if they're ever going to get a breather. Maybe some of you today need to be reminded of Jesus' words in Matthew 11:28, where he says, "Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Maybe some of you just need to be reminded today about what the Scripture says in 1 Peter, chapter 5, verse 7. "Cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you." This is a tough and trying time for mothers. But Hannah found strength in prayer. She felt safe and secure in God's care when she prayed. She felt understood and listened to. And Hannah would regain her perspective when she prayed. And she had this renewed hope when she prayed. So I would like to challenge you as a mother to pray. Pray often. Pray earnestly. Pray genuinely about anything. Susanna Wesley spent 1 hour every day in prayer for her 17 children. In addition, she took each child aside and spent 1 hour with each of the child each week to discuss spiritual matters. No wonder that her two sons, Charles and John Wesley, were mightily used by God in both England and in America. And as I said already, Ellen G. White, she spent a lot of time nurturing her children spiritually. She struggled with one child who was wayward, Edson White. And yet, he eventually came around. She prayed for him. Often at night, she was out praying for Edson. And then he turned his life around while in Chicago one day. He turned his life around. He went to a speaker who was to church and listened to a sermon that was particularly boring. And he said, "Well, this is as good as time as any to give my life to the Lord." That's Edson. It's because of prayer, my friends, not because of the sermon on that way. It was prayer. So make your requests. Make them specific. Cast your cares upon Him, upon God. Trust Him for what you need. Now, the fourth, these days are so difficult for mothers, so it's important to pray. But the fourth and final observation from the story of Hannah is this one. Hannah discovered that preparing a child for a life of service to God is the highest calling of a mother. The highest calling of a mother. You know, probably because Hannah was barren for so long, she had a lot of time to think about these things. She had a lot of time to reflect on why she wanted to become a mother. I'm sure that she sifted through all sorts of superficial reasons, wanting to have kids, you know, like to compete with the other wife who had several kids, like to look better in the eyes of the other women in the culture who were already moms. And I'm sure there are other reasons. But eventually she came to the point where she would say, or where she saw, that childbearing and child raising was an opportunity to give her God glory by preparing a young person for an entire lifetime of service and of worship of the Father. And when she landed on that reason, she made a very simple vow to God. It was very clear to Hannah. "Oh God," she cried, "if you grant me a child as a gift from your gracious hand, then I will dedicate that child to you. I will do everything I can to nurture that child, to be an example for that child, in the hopes that someday that child will be wholly available to you for service and for worship." That's just her prayer. God saw Hannah's heart, and He gave her a son. Now, He doesn't answer every request that way, but He did in this case. And Hannah did exactly what she had said she was going to do. And her miracle child, named Samuel, eventually became one of the most important spiritual leaders in the history of God's people. And so, the point of all of this is that Hannah figured out the ultimate goal of motherhood. Hannah determined that she was not going to settle for raising a child to merely be well-adjusted. She was not going to settle for raising a child to merely be bright and employable. Hannah aimed much higher than that. She prayed that the child would serve God for a lifetime. Now, do you have a vision like that for your children? Do you know what the goal is? Do you know what the target looks like? Here's a quote I'd like to share with you in Ministry of Healing, pages 377 to 78. There is a God above, and the light and glory from His throne rests upon the faithful mother as she tries to educate her children to resist the influence of evil. No other work can equal hers in importance. She has not, like the artist, to paint a form of beauty upon canvas, nor like the sculptor to chisel it from marble. She has not, like the author, to embody a noble thought in words of power, nor like the musician to express beauty in melody. It is hers, with the help of God, to develop in a human soul the likeness of the divine. The mother who appreciates this will regard her opportunities as priceless. Earnestly will she seek in her own character and by her methods of training to present before her children the highest ideal. She will keep her eyes fixed on Christ. Are you aiming high enough? I'm not suggesting that we all try to teach our kids to seek full-time employment in the church or for God's kingdom. But why wouldn't all of us, mothers and fathers, be praying every single day that our children would come to know Jesus Christ and that they would want to serve God all of their lives? Would that be the ultimate joy for a father or mother? Why wouldn't we pray every day about that? I tell you, it's never too late to pray that kind of prayer and establish those kind of goals for your kids, and it will affect everything you do. I don't know about you, but I don't lie awake at night worrying about how much money my child is going to earn when they get there and what kind of education they're going to get. That's not what keeps me up at night. And I do pray many times at midnight. I pray at 2 or 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning for a long time for my children. And my midnight prayer times, well, my great concern, I tend to focus on my kids learning to know Jesus Christ, to be growing into mature Christians who would do things not because mommy and daddy says so, but because they have it in their heart and following God's guidance wherever He leads them. Those are my daily prayers, because I know that's the stuff that pleases God. And I know that's the stuff that's going to give them lasting fulfillment. And I know that that's the stuff that's going to make both Jean and I feel like we have succeeded as parents. But most importantly, that's the stuff that's going to give our children the joy and the peace, the passage under all understanding, and eternal life. Maybe. You see, there is no guarantee that your prayers will lead to that. But there's a much higher chance when our children are prayed for. What would it profit if my kids gained the whole world and lost their souls? Now, Hannah sorted it all out, and she aimed high, and God honored her goal. So let all of us aim high and determine to do whatever it takes to encourage our children to worship and serve God for a lifetime. Let's prioritize our children and our youth programs here at this church. Our children's Sabbath school is already a high priority. We have great teachers. We have AY, and that has kind of been a little bit off and on, but we have AY started, and we need to just keep this going for our children. We have Pathfinders. Praise God for our Pathfinder leaders. They were up here just last Sabbath, I think. But then we also have a church school. Currently, we have only eight kids in our church school. Did you notice how many kids we had there this morning? That church school has a tremendous potential. I remember when we put our kids in school, Jean and I talked about it. Yes, the academic achievements, yes, those are important, but they do not measure up in any way to the joy of having a child grow up and having a spiritual environment that affects that child. So I would encourage you strongly as a mother and a father to consider our church school, to put children in church school. And by the way, Adventist church schools fare very well in our society when you compare them to other schools. They may not have all the latest equipment, but they're doing extremely well when you compare to other schools, also academically. So I will encourage you. And by the way, our church schools, money is not a reason to keep your kid away, because we have ways to help if necessary. So let's find ways to involve our kids in all aspects of church life, in the worship hour, as junior deacons and deaconesses, in outreach, you know, you name it. Let's have the vision of not just being a church for today, but being a church for tomorrow. You know, we heard the beautiful music as the kids were singing in the choir, in the youth choir. These kinds of things unite us. They are helpful in keeping young people in the church. Well, I'd like to, in closing, like to affirm one more time the nobility of motherhood. For those who are led by God to pursue motherhood, it is truly one of the most important and honorable roles a woman can ever fill. To give her life to nurturing and shaping and teaching and counseling and inspiring a child or children to the point where he or she will be more likely to serve God for a lifetime. And so this Mother's Day, moms, we want to honor you. We call what you're doing exceedingly important. And we ask God to energize you and empower you to be a mom like Hannah. I have a short video that I'd like to share with you at this time. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your loving kindness that you've given us mothers, that you have given us godly mothers in this church. I pray for each mother here, Father, that you will instill in them a sense of your calling, and that we all will aim high, and that we will have the strength and the wisdom and the courage to live out your purpose for our lives. Please guide us in how we raise our children. And may both mothers and fathers see the fruit of their labors. And Father, I know there is no guarantee that a mother or a father may do all they can, and yet the children make choices that go in a different direction. I pray that you will be with all of us and encourage us, comfort us, and help us to never lose hope. And help us to see our children in your kingdom. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. want to invite the song service, Dahlia, to come up here.
Shall we all stand for our closing song? Happy the home.
Father, that song was our prayer to you. May our homes be happy, and may everything that transpires in the home be to your honor and glory. In Christ's name, amen.